The presidential race is in full swing, while potential candidates like Scott Walker haven't actually declared their official candidacy. There are a lot of significant trips to places like Iowa and New Hampshire, and a lot of scrutiny from the media and politicos.
So the race is off to an early start, and it's too early, according to our next guest. In a recent piece on Slate.com, he says the fast-track campaign is forcing candidates to make the decision of whether to run before they really need to, and it's distracting from important issues happening right now.
You can join in with your thoughts. Does the presidential race start too early? Call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Alec McGillis joins us now. He's a staff writer for Slate. He's the author of The Cynic, The Political Education of Mitch McConnell. His piece on the presidential campaign is linked on the Central Time Facebook page. Alec, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So election talk keeps starting earlier each presidential cycle. What is driving that?
I think it's a few things. Part of it is this time around that you've got Barack Obama finishing up his tenure, and so you've got sort of a lame duck phase right now in Washington. And whenever you have the end of an 8-year presidency, there's always that sort of eagerness to get on to the next race and the next president in the press. That's exacerbated, of course, by the fact that so little is getting done in Washington these days because of the deadlock there. So there's relatively little for folks to cover and talk about in the actual government. And then on top of that, you've got the ever-increasing pressure to raise money, of course. That's one of the reasons why Mitt Romney felt this pressure to make up his mind about whether to run again so early, because he was under pressure to raise money with Jeb Bush already out there snatching up a lot of the big donors. But it's definitely getting worse every 4 years, every 8 years, and it's gotten the point of, I really think it's just gotten kind of insane how early we're doing this.
Well, it's like there's this game of musical chairs, and if you come into the race too late, all the big donors have committed themselves, all the high-profile campaign staff are committed to a campaign, and you're left with nobody you can give money and second-rate campaign staff, I guess.
Exactly. But you know, if you step back and think about it, it's just how ludicrous this schedule really is. I mean, it's more than 20 months now until the election. We're talking right now about the campaign, you know, the campaign this, the campaign that. We're talking about who's won the day, who's won the week in the Republican field. It's 20 months, more than 20 months until Election Day. I mean, you could bear two successive children conceivably in that span of time. It's longer than many wars that this country has fought. It's longer than our involvement in World War I. It's crazy. And I'm not really sure how you sort of get it under wraps, but it is distracting us from things that are actually going on in the government. You know, we do have, you know, major problems with immigration reform and tax reform and, you know, pick your issue. It's things that we could be talking about and addressing, but instead we're all talking about the campaign.
Right, you're saying this is more than just annoying for the general
right.
listener.
No,
it's actually
it
detracting from stuff.
Exactly. I think it has a substantive effect. There's another reason for it, which I should point out, which is sort of a structural reason, and it's one way in which I think probably the Europeans maybe have it a little bit easier than we do. In a parliamentary system, of course, like the English have, the minority, that the people who are challenging and are hoping to take over the government next time, are actually in the government. They're the minority party in parliament, which is hoping to win the next election, but they're also in the government. So all the talk about the next election, the next campaign, is sort of tied to what's actually going on in the House of Commons, you know, in the government. And so you don't have this weird disconnect that we have here, where you have stuff going on in Washington, but then you have all these candidates, meanwhile, running all around the country 20 months ahead of time.
We've talked about how the press maybe should be focusing more on urgent, pressing issues of the day rather than this election that's so long off. But also for potential candidates who have a day job, senators, governors, and the like, does this take away from the job they're doing, or maybe put scrutiny on it in a way that isn't helpful to what they're trying to accomplish?
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's no question that it distracts them, takes them away. You simply can't be in two places at once. And of course, as we're seeing now with Governor Walker in Wisconsin, it does bring extra scrutiny to the things you are still doing in the state. And of course, it probably also changes the actual elected officials' decisions about the things they're doing in government. I mean, it's been noted that some of Governor Walker's current decisions, whether on right to work or the university system in Wisconsin, are being driven at least in part by his status as a very prominent person in the Republican field.
I want to get to possible alternatives and suggestions. We heard from Mitchell on Facebook, who writes, no more than 6 months, no outside donations in that time period, release of all school and tax records when the campaign really kicks off. So, I mean, is there any sort of legal campaign reform way to start at that level that a presidential campaign could be shortened?
Yes, I mean, you could. It would be very much not the way we do things in this country, but you could try to regulate it. The FEC, the Federal Election Commission, could actually try to lay out some parameters, and that is what they do in other countries. I mean, in Germany and other countries in Europe, they have these incredibly tight windows for the actual campaigns. I mean, in Germany, I think it's something like a month or two. I mean, it's just comical how much narrower it is than what we've become accustomed to here. But I'm not holding my breath for anything like that here. The FEC can barely regulate our existing campaign finance rules that we have right now, much less propose anything very aggressive. They're completely deadlocked, sort of in a partisan deadlock right now, and are pretty ineffectual. But yes, if you were to set your mind to it, you could try to come up with a different schedule under the rules.
Now, on the media side of it, as you write, in effect, we're enabling this, and I'll include both of us on our show. We've had, you know, presidential preview shows for 2016, some already. You, as a political correspondent, have written about the presidential race. Can we, as the media, maybe if we don't go totally cold turkey here, but can we tip the balance away from this to take some of the shine off those early contenders?
I think we can. I think that decision is up to us. Every day we sort of decide what we want to write about and how we want to spend our time. And I'm, as you mentioned, I'm certainly not innocent of this. I've spent a fair amount of time these last couple of years doing big reported profiles of various 2016 contenders, and I've always felt a little bit ambivalent about that as I'm doing it. So I do think that it's up to each and every one of us. That said, I'm definitely losing this cause. There was a story today in the Washington Post about the fact that the various news organizations are right now just beefing up in a very big way for the campaign, just hiring tons of people to cover the campaign, not to cover, you know, other stuff in Washington, you know, the various departments of government and Congress, but the 2016 campaign. And this is just, it's more than ever this time around.
If you think
about the fact that other candidates in the past who bowed out early, decided not to run, famous decisions, people, Mario Cuomo and LBJ, these big famous decisions about not to run, they happened much later in the cycle than Mitt Romney's recent decision not to run. Mario Cuomo didn't decide until December of the year before the election not to run. I mean, that's 9 months from now, 8 months from now.
Yeah, we wouldn't be taking anyone seriously at that point if they hadn't committed
right, exactly.
to a race by then. So one more player that can maybe make a difference, probably not the candidates themselves, but the political parties, you write, could have some influence, at least on keeping the creep of primaries and caucuses going earlier and earlier.
That's right. And the parties do have real control over this. They're the ones who set their calendars with the primaries. But even there, they are just constantly losing this battle. They're constantly trying to get key states from leapfrogging ahead in the process, but are again and again not very effective at that. They are not good about penalizing states that do jump ahead in the calendar. Just again this year, the Republicans have tried to slow things down, but some of the big southern states have decided that they're going to move up into very early March. And one reason the parties are not actually trying that hard to keep states from jumping earlier is that the parties actually kind of wanted to get wrapped up quickly, too. The Republicans would very much like to have their primaries settled by early spring, mid-spring next year, so that they don't have a big drawn-out fight and their nominee can marshal his resources for the general election. So in a lot of ways, they're actually far from helping on this front. They're actually complicit in it.
Alec, thanks so much for joining us again.
Sure. Glad to do it.
That's Alec MacGillis. His piece on the presidential election, Starting Too Early, is linked at the Central Time Facebook page.